What exactly do we mean when we use the phrase human trafficking?
Human trafficking can be two different things, sex trafficking and labor trafficking. And human trafficking is forcing another person, another human being, to do something that they don't necessarily want to do by force, fraud, coercion, power, control, and physical abuse.
And this goes on everywhere, including Kalamazoo and Southwest Michigan?
Absolutely. We are a border state. We are halfway between Chicago and Detroit. Anytime you have strip clubs, massage parlors, and prostitution, it is seen as trafficking.
Have there been specific incidents in recent years that we could point to as examples of this issue in our area?
I believe it was last year we had a gentleman who is currently being prosecuted for taking underage girls over to the Chicago area to be trafficked for sex in hotels for men over there, and he was caught and apprehended, and charges are pressing now.
Would it be fair to say, though, that for every case like that, there are many more that are not reported?
Absolutely. This is a new issue for Kalamazoo that I've raised, and the whole reason I raised it is because I met three survivors of human trafficking, one being a woman, Teresa, who was trafficked at the age of 16 in Birmingham for 2 years by other high school teenagers in her school. Another one being Melinda from Muskegon, who from the age of 5 was trafficked by her own mother until it was found in high school by answering a questionnaire for her career. And I started asking myself, if it's going on in Muskegon and Birmingham, what do we have here in Kalamazoo? Why aren't we seeing it? And as I've posed the question and brought the group together, I have learned more and more about sexting in the schools. It's going on in the schools. More and more teen and youth, and with the internet, Backpage.com, Craigslist.com, it's out there and it's alive and well, and we need to find it and stop the demand and get these traffickers apprehended.
You're the director of the Kalamazoo Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition, which started last year in the summer of 2012. How did that get started?
Well, I'm just going to correct you a little bit. I'm the founder. There's no paid position. There's no director. I prefer the word founder. I posed this question. I started with the Junior League of Kalamazoo, and we have 9 junior leagues in the state of Michigan. And we started having the conversation 3 years ago about the laws on our books in the state of Michigan in regards to protecting the victims of human trafficking, whether it's sex or labor trafficking. And from there, I have posed the question. I just sent out an email, and I had 8 people show up at our first meeting last March of 2012. And the one that was most important to me, not that everybody was an important player at the table, but when the sheriff showed up, I knew that there was something that needed to be done in Kalamazoo.
One of the things that your organization tries to do is to raise public awareness, something that you're engaged in right now. Another aspect of it, though, is helping professionals in law enforcement or healthcare or the schools to detect it when it might be happening. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. We have held 2 awareness campaigns or events for our community. And on top of that, our training, we are currently reaching the nursing students at KVCC. We have 3 teachers or 3 trainers that go in there a couple times a month to work with the students so that once they are out in the field, they can detect what signs to look for from a possible trafficking victim. And we just recently have started the conversation with Bronson Hospital and may be able to offer CMEs for the professional medical staff there as well to receive training. I just sent out an email today that I would like to start the law enforcement training, and we're working on getting our curriculum set and ready to go so that we can start inviting the law enforcement in. But the biggest thing is, until the laws change in regards to law enforcement, until there's laws that protect the victims, the law enforcement can only enforce what the law says. And currently, the victims of trafficking are seen as the criminal, not as a victim.
How is that? Why would the victim be re-victimized?
Because if they are being forced to sell sex or labor traffic, but more particular in sex trafficking, they are seen as the criminal because the law says to sell that service is against the law. And so currently that's all that the law can enforce is that person is the criminal. So I currently, we have three laws that we are having written on the books right now. We're working with Senator Eileen Cowell, and the laws are being written right now. Number one is safe harbor laws. Because in the state of Michigan, the age 16 and under is seen as a minor, which is very different from our federal laws, where age 18 and under is seen as a minor. So currently, right now, any victim who is 16 or 17 years old is prosecuted and criminalized as an adult. So that is one law that we would like to see written. The second law is a clean slate. As these victims are being trafficked, they are getting prosecuted. They're racking up a long criminal history record. And a lot of times with trafficking comes drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and maybe some other not pretty things that happen just for them to cope with what they're living through and going through. And so we would like to see the victims or survivors of human trafficking's records expunged so that they can then move on to a new place in their life. And then the third law that we're currently working on having written would be to have the victims hold their traffickers accountable. Those traffickers have made money on these victims, on these survivors, and they should be able to get something back from those traffickers so that then again they can move on with the next part of their life.
Is it fair to say that if those laws aren't changed or adopted, that it discourages victims from coming forward?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And our laws are very different for U.S.-born citizens than they are for non-U.S.-born citizens. The federal government has done a fabulous job of protecting non-U.S.-born trafficking survivors. Where we fail is for our own U.S.-born trafficking survivors in regards to protection with the laws.
What are some of the signs that might tip another person off to say, you know, hey, I think this person might be a victim of this?
Indicators can be signs of physical abuse, psychological or sexual abuse, sometimes depression, anxiety, evidence of being controlled. In severe cases, we've heard of tattooing of the word daddy on their neck, or even all the girls or all of the trafficking victims will have the same tattoo. And it's very interesting. I heard a high school teacher from Grand Rapids who was at our event last week speak, and she said she polled her classroom. Now, keep in mind, you're in high school classroom, and the majority of kids in high school are under 18, but she just randomly asked, how many of you have a tattoo? And keep in mind, you have to be 18 or get parental authorization to get a tattoo. And she said half of her class raised their hands. And then she posed the next question of, well, how did you get that tattoo? Who gave you permission? You know, if it was your parents, raise your hands. And she said about half of those then raised their hands. It was the parents. And the other half of her class, the other quarter of those people that raised their hands couldn't or wouldn't answer how they had got authorization to get those tattoos by being an underage minor.
Are there special shelters or just shelters, period, that can help people who are trying to get out of this?
Well, absolutely. Number one is we have a human trafficking hotline number, which I would love for everybody to program in their phone so that if they ever feel that they see something that just doesn't look right or feel right, and that is 1-888-3737-888, and they are the Polaris Project. It's the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and it will connect anyone anywhere with either answer questions, find assistance, or take a report on what you think you might see. Our newest shelter that we have had available is the Manassa Project up in Grand Rapids. Andy Soper has done a fabulous job working with Wedgwood Christian Services. For trafficking survivors, we have fewer than, I would say, 150 beds available for these survivors. Now, keep in mind, our federal government says that we have over 100,000 women and children trafficked a year. 100,000. Half of those, they suspect are minors. and we have about 150 beds, rooms available to treat these survivors of human trafficking. This is a community issue. It starts with the youth. I think it starts with the parents at home, the adults. Protect your family, protect your children. When it comes to the internet can be a great tool, but it also opens up a new segue for predators to be out there and looking for things. The malls can be, sit down and have a conversation with your children. Be very open and honest and just let them know their love. Tell them that I love you and you're going to keep them safe, because I am reminded daily when I speak with parents, and I do have a friend in Portage whose daughter is currently being lured to Florida. A 34-year-old man is luring a 17-year-old young female to Florida over the internet. This is out there. It is a real problem, and we do need to be on the lookout and protect the people that we love.